Personal question. How much do you have in your super account right this very second? If you honestly have no idea, you're not alone. One of the big four banks has done a survey and found that a third of Australians have no idea how big or small their retirement nest egg is. And it gets worse. Nearly half of us avoid money conversations altogether. And young people are particularly tight-lipped. Yet that generation seems to have no problem talking about literally anything else. What students do say is that they don't get taught enough about money at school. And if it's not being talked about at home either, where are young people meant to learn how to save and spend responsibly? Well, Deb Schrute is from Financial Counselling Australia. Deb, welcome back to Life Matters.
Thanks, Tegan. Good morning. Good to be here.
I'm not going to ask you your super balance, but I'm pretty sure you know what it is.
Maybe ballpark.
Okay. But these survey results, are they ringing true with what you're seeing with the clients that you work with?
Absolutely. So I think we see this across the board. And if we are to break this down into why this is the case, I would say financial literacy, it goes beyond just budgeting and your super balance. If we're to use a mobile phone as an example, which most people have, all the decisions that need to be made that go into choosing the right mobile phone, do you get a contract, do you get a pay as you go, what is the best phone for you, do you get direct debit, do you pay in advance? There are just so many different elements that go into that decision that also feed through to your budget and your finances.
So that's a really complicated decision to make. Are you saying that we have more decisions like that to make than previous generations, or that's just sort of an illustrative case study?
So there is potential that there are more decisions to make than previous generations. Life does seem to be getting more and more complex, and there are more and more products out there. I also think that it could be because we have access to more information as well, that you can get this overwhelm. And people generally do try and go out to educate themselves about financial literacy and contracts and all sorts of information. But because there is so much out there, it's really hard to know what the trusted sources are. And we see clients really try their best to work out what the next best step forward is and how to get out of their situations. But they come across some really not good quality or independent quality sources of information during that process.
What kind of places? Like social media?
There's social media, Finfluencers, there's a lot of chat forums. So, for example, general mums chat forums on Facebook, for example, there's people asking very specific financial information on there. And there's random strangers responding and who knows what qualifications these people have, if any.
What is it? I don't think that previous generations were like coming out of the womb knowing about financial literacy. Are we really failing our kids now, or is it a function of just young people be young?
I think that just generally, there's always been this responsibility for parents to be teaching their children financial literacy and these types of skills. And I think that that's a lot of pressure to put on parents. Firstly, do they have the skills to teach it? Secondly, we're assuming that every child is in a situation where they have that sort of security and knowledge surrounding them. But also, something like financial literacy, it's very values driven. So what might be seen as a good decision by one person or good management of your finances by one person might look very different to another. And as an example, I'll use the, if you had a choice and it was to send your child to a private school or to keep the house, there's no right decision in what to do. Some people will choose to send their child to a public school and, you know, keep ownership of their house, where others will choose to rent and send their child to a private school. So it's very value-driven decision, and there's no right or wrong answer.
So it's not so much about being prescriptive, but giving people the tools to make those calculations for themselves.
100%. And this is also why we can't look at financial literacy in that two-dimensional way, because it's this whole ecosystem that intertwines. And this is where it can be overwhelming, and sometimes there's no easy answers to it.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Deb Schrute from Financial Counselling Australia about how a new survey has found that young people especially just don't have a good grasp on financial literacy, but a third of Australians also don't know their super balance, so maybe it's not just the youngsters. One person says financial literacy is taught in schools. It's just becoming more and more difficult to teach and for kids to learn because many behaviour issues in class time makes it hard for understanding to be developed. Jilly says, my grandchildren are learning lessons from a financial literacy book for children by Scott Pape. They keep a third, save a third, and give a third away. It teaches the child so much. Deb, what kind of lessons do you think young people need to be taught in schools and at home?
Well, firstly, to the point that you made at the beginning about talking about money in the first place and why people don't talk about it. So I think that talking about it, having it out in the open, taking the shame away from not knowing or not having enough money, and having really honest conversations in general, whether that be with friends, family, and so on. This is a good way to get rid of the stigma in the first place, because, you know, putting our head in the sand and, you know, not wanting to learn about these things, which unfortunately we all need to deal with, is usually not very constructive. There are a lot of financial literacy programs out there. So, for example, Extra Foundation have their Talk Money program in schools, but unfortunately it's not in every school. So, I guess the funding only stretches so far, and the engagement from schools only stretches so far. There are, you know, lots of financial literacy programs in communities, but again, can everyone access them? The other thing is to, I guess, know what the best sources of information are. And they're usually ones which are independent. A lot of resources which are out there on the web and wider, some of them are good quality and some of them are being used as a bit of a carrot to sell a product. So they might be disguised as really good quality information, but there's another motive to that information being out there. So going to sources such as Centrelink has a financial literacy page, ASIC Money Smart, so all government run organisations, National Debt Helpline, I need to mention, which has a lot of information about debts and other types of financial resources. That would be a really good start, is just to look for that good quality independent information.
Was one person on the text line saying they're learning about financial literacy from specialists on YouTube and podcasts, and they say it's easily accessible and it's entertaining. I haven't visited the ASIC website regularly. It's great, but it's not YouTube.
I completely agree with you on that. And if there are any money smart creatives out there listening, I think it wouldn't do any harm to make the information on the website more interactive. I'm not saying there's not good quality podcasts out there, but you really need to do your research to see which ones are good quality, the qualifications of the people who are giving the information. Are they connected to, for example, financial institutions, or are they trying to sell products? Are they sponsored? How independent is this information that they're giving, and are they being influenced in how they're selling their advice?
I'm talking to Deb.
The question.
Yeah, sorry, Deb. Deb Schrute from Financial Counselling Australia is sharing her insider tips, well, not insider trading, just tips, with us here on Life Matters on Radio National. Is it harder to teach financial literacy now, Deb, because we're not working with physical cash very often anymore. I feel like I learnt, you know, if you give someone a $10 note and then they give you back $2 in change, you're like, I'm really seeing that transaction happening. Whereas now I just merrily tap my card on thing. I wonder if it's harder for kids to understand financial literacy because they don't have these physical artifacts in the same way.
I think that that could be part of it. But in saying that, we're getting rid of the physical money, but there are a lot of other tools out there that are to help that maybe we didn't have in the past as well. So there might be different apps, or we're able to track things on our phone. We're able to look at statements and transactions easier and, you know, see running balances in real time. So I think it is... there is definitely a benefit to having the physical visual that we had with money, but I think it's about us also shifting, because we need to accept the fact that, you know, we are becoming more cashless by the day, and embracing other tools out there and what are the other strategies and methods that we're able to use to manage the situation. And yeah, just adjusting to that.
Actually, as you're saying that, Erica has texted in saying, I started very late in life. I've developed a spreadsheet which tells me what bills and donations I have to pay by when. So that visual cue that you've created for yourself, as you're saying there, Deb. Erica says, I now put substantial funds into separate savings accounts every month. I pay my credit card in full every month. If I had started this system at the start of my adult life, I would now be well off and able to enjoy a comfortable retirement instead of having to keep working to pay for the reckless spending of my younger days. We've talked a lot about young people, Deb, but is it too late if you're an adult or you're approaching retirement and you're only learning these lessons now?
It's never too late to learn. And even if you're finding that you have maybe not been happy with the choices that you've made along the way, it is never too late to learn about what the best way to manage your finances are for you. Because as I said before, it's a very values-driven decision. And I also need to say that if you are having trouble with debt, there is help available, and it's also never too late to get help as well. The National Debt Helpline, the Bond Line, 1-800-007-007 or ndh.org.au, has an array of information on different debts, what you can do if you find that you are struggling in your situation. And also there's someone to talk to. If you do feel that there, you know, shameful talking to your friends or family about your situation, financial counsellors are free, independent and confidential and are there to listen to you.
Deb Schrute is from Financial Counselling Australia.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.